You may not know this, but if I help you, I'm actually helping myself. Let's start off with a basic concept. Tell me if you think this is true or not. God loves you, and God loves me. I wonder if that's scientific. There's a book called Switch on Your Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf, and on page 52, I want to read some research to you. Outstanding research has recently been done. Let me adjust the volume slightly. Outstanding research has recently been done by Dr. Gail Ironson, a leading mind-body medicine researcher and professor of psychology and psychiatry at the University of Miami. She found that the most significant factor that made a difference in healing those, or healing for those with HIV, that's the human immunodeficiency virus, it was their choice to believe in a benevolent and loving God, especially if they chose to have a personal relationship with a benevolent, and loving God. Her study ran over 4 years, and her determination of healing was based on the decrease of the viral load. That's all they did. They measured how many viral entities were found in these people with HIV or AIDS. The amount of AIDS virus in a sample of blood, and then they looked at the increased concentration of what are called the helper T cells. These are the immune cells that help your body heal, folks. So that was why they did it. They said that the higher the concentration of helper T cells, the more the body is able to fight disease. She also found that those who did not believe in God, they did not believe that God loved them, they lost their T helper cells 3 times faster. Folks, that's pretty impressive if you ask me. Their viral load also increased 3 times faster when they didn't believe that God loved them. Man, that's powerful. And their stress levels were higher, with damaging amounts of cortisol flowing. You know what cortisol is? If you produce too much of it, a little bit's fine. If you want to be alert and awake and you want to go to church and or focus on something, a little bit's good. But too much of it, it'll rip you to shreds. Dr. Ironson summarizes her research by saying, and I'm just quoting her, "If you believe that God loves you, it's an enormously protective factor, even more protective than scoring low for depression or high for optimism." What do you think about that? A view of a benevolent God is protective, but scoring high on the personalized statement that God loves me is even stronger. There you go, folks. Complete scientific research. Do you ever wonder if science is ever going to catch up with the Bible? Well, we'll find out. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5256. This is truly this could be a very, very significant book. I know I'm not here to do a book report, or at least I didn't think on it. The book is called Switch on Your Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf. You would do really, really well to consider what she has to say in there. She's very fascinating. You know, maybe what you could do is you could get on YouTube today and just listen to some of her lectures and see if they ring true and see if there's anything in there that you might like to have for yourself. I've got to believe that if you're listening to me this morning, you want to improve yourself and you want to be better. Isn't it exciting to know that healing can begin when you come to the point that God loves me? All right. Article number 2. This one was very intriguing also, but to me this is intriguing for a whole lot of reasons. Number 1. I literally can't keep score anymore. I don't know how many times I hear a person say they just found cancer. It's metastasized to the colon or the breast or the liver, lungs, brain. But the doctor said, no problem, we're going to use chemotherapy, we're going to knock it out. And what happens usually is there's a significant decrease in the tumors for a moment. But the cancer always comes back. Now, let me discuss this with you. This comes from, the title of the article is, how, and you're going to hear me correctly probably, but do you remember in the Old Testament that talked about the garments that the high priest would wear? And in the garment was sewn or embroidered, if I remember correctly, a pomegranate. I've eaten pomegranate recently. They're like eating candy. It's a delicious fruit. But here's the article's called "How Pomegranate Puts Chemo and Radiation to Shame" by Jai Sayer. I like reading his stuff because he's straight and to the point. Okay. In recent years, an emergent theory has proposed that a rare subpopulation of cancerous cells called cancer stem cells, they may be in fact largely responsible for tumorigenesis, that means tumors growing, and also resistance, meaning they don't die so well when you try to kill them with chemotherapy and radiation drugs. Much like healthy progenitor stem cells, which renew and sustain organs and tissues, these cancer stem cells exhibit characteristics of self-renewal and differentiation properties, regenerating malignant cells. That means once they're starting to die, they grow them back again. And they also fuel the growth of cancer. I know that's a bit technical, so please forgive for that. In fact, evidence now finds conventional treatments like radiation and chemotherapy can induce non-cancer cells into a transient cancer stem cell-like state. The discovery of these cancer stem cells at the root of cancer malignancy reveals that the standard care in oncology warrants a safer, more effective alternative interventions that selectively target cancer stem cells. Two studies, this is just a fancy way of saying, if you try to kill the cancer without killing the cancer stem cells, you're going to fail every single time because it's going to grow back. That's what they're saying. Two recent studies have looked at the effects of a pomegranate extract on colorectal and breast cancer stem cells. Pomegranate bioactive compounds were found to inhibit the cancer stem cells' ability to self-renew. You may want to make a note of that. And just kind of file that away, that pomegranate bioactive compounds were found to inhibit cancer stem cells, their ability to self-renew, while they interfering with multiple pivotal pathways implicated in different stages of carcinogenesis. That means the growth of cancer. And here's the research. In breast cancer stem cells, pomegranate extract was found to alter the characteristics of individual breast cancer stem cells. They reduce clump formation and they downregulate genes involved in causing the cancer stem cells to even grow in the first place. Anyway, I find that very interesting. Something as simple as a pomegranate. Now, how toxic is a pomegranate? It's not. To me, this is very, very exciting. When you go into the store, usually back there in the refrigerated section, don't they have that pomegranate juice? And if you search the produce aisle, there's a chance in the right store you can find pomegranates for sale. What do you think happens if you eat a pomegranate today? Well, you're improving your genetic expression of health. It all begins in the mind. And so if you become convinced that pomegranates are good for yourself and you decide that you want to take care of yourself, then it'll work. Of course, in this study, it had nothing to do with that. They just used pomegranate extract to try to kill breast cancer stem cells. That is truly one thing that it just literally I grieve over because I hear it so frequently. Dr. Morgan, the doctor, is going to use chemotherapy and radiation. They said they should be able to kill all the cancer perfectly, and she should be well in, you know, or he should be well in 3 months, only to have it come back later. If I've seen that once, I've seen it 200 times. So just consider that God has given us almost everything. Well, He has given us everything. Why did I say almost? He hasn't given us almost everything. He's given us so much if we just knew how to use it. That's why it's good to have a curious mind where you want to seek out information. Next article. Unless somebody wants to call me and ask a question. The number at the station here is 903-586-5257. This one to me is interesting also, and I'm going to give it to you for your own edification here. This is adapted from Melatonin's Newly Discovered Anti-Aging Mechanism by Scott Franklin. Oh, good, we have a phone call. That's funner anyway. Let's give this a shot. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I am blessed.
Good.
I am blessed.
Yay, I like that.
I was diagnosed with cancer back in 2015.
Yes, ma'am.
And I had breast cancer. And they gave me 6 months to a year to live. Wow. I tried the chemo for 2 months, and I could not tolerate it. I got off of it.
What happened when you took the chemo?
I threw up. I bled from my rectum, my nose.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to make that an overly personal question. I was just curious what your response was. But it just didn't go well for you, did it?
No, it did not. And it took me a long time to get over the chemo. But I went natural. But you were talking about Caroline Leaf.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I had a wonderful natural doctor. I won't mention any names since you were the one.
I didn't hear that.
That told me if I did not get the stress out of my body, I would not make it. I began to renew my mind with the washing of the Word.
Oh, that's awesome.
In Caroline Leaf's book, Switch On the Brain, Switch On Your Brain, on page 37.
I'm going to turn there right now because that's the only book I have in front of me.
She says, the association between stress and disease is a colossal of 85%.
I know. It's just incredible.
So many people that have cancer are under stress.
Do you know?
I had anger in my heart for my brother for over a year. I had hate. And the Lord showed me that if I did not get that hate out of my heart for my brother, he was not pleased with it. The Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Live peaceably with all men if possible. When I got the anger out of my heart for my brother, the cancer, I believe, went away. And by putting the right things in my body also. But I believe with all my heart that I was diagnosed with cancer because of the stress that I was under, as Caroline Leaf mentioned in her book there. Stress will kill you.
Oh, my goodness. Most people have no idea how much it'll kill them.
If we will renew our minds with the Lord's Word and get that peace that passeth all understanding in our hearts and our minds, Jesus, oh, I tell you, He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the great physician. He came in to my heart, and He renewed my heart, my spirit. And I have love for my brother. I have love for my brother because Jesus put it there. He took away the anger. And I stood on Psalms 118:17. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord in my body. Psalms 118:17.
I just wrote that down.
Mark 11:22-26 says that when we pray and we pray in faith, the Lord will move mountains. He will answer our prayer. But when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. And if you do not forgive, I will not forgive you of your sins. I had to forgive my brother. I had so much anger and hate build up. Jesus will not answer your prayer if you have hate for anyone. He says, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Love covers a multitude of sins. And it hasn't changed my brother any, but it sure has changed me.
Which, that's the most important part of the equation. Your relationship with God, right?
Yes.
Because it's a choice. You choose. What a beautiful story. That is so beautiful. I'm so glad you called. That was just fabulous. I wrote down every scripture that you mentioned.
Yes, and I love you, Dr. Morgan.
Oh,
and
you're so kind. So thanks. I love you, too.
I thank you so much for being there for me and telling me, Cheryl, you have to get that stress out of your life. Thank you. Thank you. And I thank God that you are a godly doctor and you believe in our Lord and our Savior.
Well, to me, that just, even if I say God loves you and God loves me, I just feel instantly better when I say that.
Yes. And I thank you for saying it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your phone call. You have truly made my day. Thank you. You'll never know how much I appreciate you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Oh, that was great. Those are the best ones when you have no idea that they're coming and they're unsolicited. That's the one book I have with me right now that I'm working on. And I've already set my mind like Flynn, if I have to reread this book 15 times to get it through my thick skull, then that's what I'm going to do, but it's a choice. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking time to call. How can I help you?
My pleasure. I called you during the week, and I was diagnosed with ovarian cyst. It's considered a complex one.
What do they mean by that, complex?
I don't know.
Well, have they explained it to you in detail? Is it like
mulch?
Is it just one big? Is it the size of a grapefruit or what?
It's about 5.9, 5.4 centimeters.
Okay, so let me see, 25 millimeters or 2.5 centimeters is 1 inch.
Millimeters, sorry.
Oh, now what'd you say it was? How many millimeters?
I think it's 5.9 millimeters.
Well, if it's 5.9 millimeters, that's 6 millimeters, that's not real big.
Like the size of a golf ball.
No, that would be more like about 60 millimeters probably. I don't know. I just kind of made up a number there.
It's about the size of a golf ball, large golf ball.
So that's probably going to be like easily, I don't know, can I guess an inch and a half, 2 inches?
That's right, yeah.
I don't have a tape stick or a golf ball where I can measure.
Yeah.
You can tell I'm not going to play golf today, right? Okay. Well, is there anything else going on? Or is that really the only issue that you're aware of, that you know that you're dealing with?
Yeah, that's the only issue I'm aware of.
Okay.
And I feel fine. You know, my CA-125 was at an 8. They said 35 is bad. Mm-hmm. So I felt good that it was at an 8.
Yeah, that's a lot better than 88, right?
Exactly, or 2000 or whatever.
Okay, let me try to build a case right here, okay?
So I want it healed.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's what I want for you also.
I don't want surgery.
No, you don't.
I'd like it to shrink.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God has designed the body to regulate and heal itself if given half a chance?
You bet.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have
He's
a go
done
at
it
this.
For me many times. So.
Well, in light of what I just mentioned earlier, I'm not saying this is the main point, but I just want to run it past you.
Mm-hmm.
What I read earlier about the men that had HIV, they followed them for 4 years, and they measured their levels of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And they showed that men that did not believe that God was benevolent and that loved them, they absolutely had the highest viral load and they had the lowest amount of white blood cells in the immune system. But the hormone they measured is called cortisol. So when mm-hmm. you're stressed to the point that you feel a little bit jittery or nervous or uneasy or you don't feel great on the inside, you can bet your bottom dollar that cortisol is ruling the day. And
exactly.
Cortisol has a very unique ability when there's too much of it. A little bit of it's just fine. If you have a little bit of it in the morning to help wake you up, and you decide to do a devotional or a Bible study, or you're going to church tomorrow morning, well, you need a little bit of cortisol to make sure that your mind is very focused and you can concentrate and you can listen to the sermon and participate in Bible class and you can drive to church without wandering off the road into a ditch because you're daydreaming or something. But when you have too much cortisol, it literally starts tearing down your muscles and converting them directly into sugar. And when it converts them into sugar, your body has no choice but to increase its production of insulin. And that is the only way that I know that you can solve excess production of estrogen. Estrogen is the female hormone. I know there's many different forms of it, but I'm just going to say it kind of as a blanket hormone. Estrogen is a hormone that sends a signal for your body to grow. So anytime that there's an ovarian cyst, I don't know about the term complicated. I'll have to look that up and see if I can find a reference to it that makes sense to me. Anytime estrogen's high, you're telling the body to grow a cyst on your ovaries.
Wow. Okay.
And so the lady that just called a while ago, she talked about her issue that she had with anger against her brother. If that's not the most vulnerable, open woman of all time, I don't know who would be. To me, that takes a lot of guts to say it over on the radio that you've had an issue. But then again, I think Dr. Leaf says, you know, admit it, or what is her phrase? I haven't got that far yet. Anyway, but you just name the problem that you've got, and you just get rid of it.
Right.
And you replace it with something that's good. Is there any... I'm saying all this to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that you have ongoing stress that hasn't been resolved or corrected?
I don't believe so now, but I do believe so very heavily in the last 5 years.
Well, I was reading a story about a woman in Great Britain, maybe even London, and she had this very, very large tumor on her pituitary that required surgery. Now, I'm not saying that she was a believer or her hope and faith and trust was in God, but she kept saying over and over again positive statements to herself that she was going to heal. And she started trying to get to the root of the cause of the stress that she had in her family.
Mm-hmm.
And the tumor completely shrank on its own where it required no surgery, and the doctor said that was literally impossible, can't be done. But the ovarian cyst, let me just give you some simple things. There is an herb called chaste tree. Have you ever heard of chaste tree? You want me to spell it for you?
Yes, please.
It's C-H-A-S-T-E, and then the word tree. It's almost like
okay.
You see, I mean, you can drive down the road right now, and you can see plenty of trees that have no leaves on them, unless it's a pine tree, maybe. But yeah, chaste tree. That would be one thing that I would look into. The other thing that I would look into is there's a product. It's made from cow ovaries. This may sound kind of gross, but I'm telling you, it's very precise. It's called Ovatropin PMG.
Okay.
PMG is just a short for the abbreviation for proto-morphogen glandular. And that's a substance, when you swallow that pill, it's made from cow ovary extract. In a roundabout way, it sends the blueprint down to your ovaries for them to heal and repair themselves.
Awesome.
So the two minerals... I just expanded to three in my mind. Sorry, but I would look into what's called iodine, the element iodine.
I just read up on this yesterday.
Well, okay. isn't that interesting that you beat me to the punch on that? You knew it before I even say anything. That's great. But iodine is so, so critical. So if somebody has Dupuytren's contractures or trigger fingers, or they have fibrosis, or they have Peyronie's, or they have uterine fibroids or ovarian cysts, or they have excessive... skin grows, you start thinking about, well, maybe this is their body's way of communicating. They really have an issue with iodine. So play with iodine. Now, one point that I want to make. If I'm not mistaken, some of the parts of the world where they absolutely have the lowest concentration of ovarian cysts would be on the island of Okinawa, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not telling you to move to Okinawa, Japan, but if we could just sort of look at or imitate what they're doing... They're generating very good intake of iodine just because of the choices of food that they're eating.
Right.
So I guess if you live on Okinawa, a bowl of seaweed soup for breakfast, I really don't know if that's what they're eating. I'm just joking. But they probably have kelp.
Yeah.
And the ocean is very, very rich in iodine. But I would really look into iodine over a period of time. Have you ever heard of the iodine patch test?
Is that the one where you drop it on your skin?
Yeah, simple as that.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's easy. If you went to a pharmacy and said, I'm going to get a 2% iodine tincture, and it, you know, it's just like maybe a 1-ounce bottle, no big deal. But when you pull it out, it usually has kind of like a plastic wand where you can apply it. And what's that used for? If you had a cut on your finger, if you were worried about getting an infection, you would just rub the iodine directly on there, correct?
Right.
And it has this kind of an orange, yellow, brown color to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of delicious color. But if you just take that wand and just kind of rub it into your skin, you want to let that air dry, which might take, 20, 30 seconds, where it doesn't, like, smear on your clothing. Or if you get that on a white silk dress, it ain't coming out, sister. No, it's goner. But what you do is you note the time. So if it was exactly at 7:30, let me just say 7 o'clock this morning, you rub the iodine on your forearm and just let it air dry. You can, you know, make a circle, make a square, draw a picture of a elephant on your arm, whatever you want. But you're counting the time until you see it start to fade and start to disappear. And this is just a screening test, but the idea behind it is very, very simple. If your body is so thirsty for iodine, it wants to suck it up and drink it up and absorb it, that is going to start to fade very, very quickly. Now, if I say it in reverse, if that iodine patch that you paint on your forearm is still there 24 hours later, you probably have plenty of iodine, and that's good to know also.
Okay.
But I seriously doubt that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess in your case, just because of the idea of a cyst on the ovary, I bet you anything it's going to be gone inside of 7-8 hours. Totally
okay.
Gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's easy to purchase, but I think it's interesting because the longer that patch stays on, that's another way of getting your body back in good working order. But iodine is a godsend. I would say zinc can be very critical also, and magnesium. I know I'm singling things out, but these are just ideas.
Well, are there a good trace mineral? I mean, I bought one because you had mentioned it once before, and it's dropped, and it is so awful.
You mean the taste?
I guess.
Oh, well, that means it's probably good for you.
See, I do everything in water because I don't do juice.
Yeah.
So the taste is pretty bad. I didn't know if there's anything that's better. I'll still use it.
Well, you know, one of the most famous British healers of all time back in the early 1900s, his name was Cyril Scott. I kind of like that name, Cyril. But he was very famous for giving unsulfured blackstrap molasses to cure ovarian problems.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, molasses is just a rich, rich base in minerals.
That's
very rich.
Yes.
I can hear those doves in the background.
I'm sitting outside. It's beautiful.
Oh, isn't that great to be out in nature?
It is. It is. Well, you know, you mentioned any other issues. I know I always, when I get chest, I say my thyroid, something's wrong with my thyroid. I struggle with losing weight, and it's always low normal. So it was 1.8.
Well, I want to say it differently. There is nothing that will literally destroy the thyroid like stress will. Nothing. Nothing, nothing. Because it suppresses it. Because
mm-hmm.
as stress hormones go up, estrogen levels always go up, and estrogen tells your body to grow, grow, grow. And if you want to suppress the thyroid, get too much cortisol and get too much estrogen, and that'll do it every single time.
So is there a natural way to help lower your cortisol?
Well,
aside from yoga,
that book,
the lady
that just called, and she said,
yeah.
Switch on your brain. Isn't it? See, that's just interesting.
To her.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. If you get that book, it'll tell you exactly how to do it from start to finish.
Okay, good.
I mean, let me see, what is the price on this? If you buy this at a standard bookstore and they don't give you a discount, it's $13.99.
Okay.
If you get it used off eBay or Amazon, it might be $2.
Yeah.
But then again, sometimes a new book is fun to hold in your hand because you can take a crayon and make notes and post-it notes and everything else and
exactly.
A whole different level of fun.
I don't want their notes. I want my notes.
You know, she brought me to page 37 and she said, the association between stress and all disease is a colossal 85%. But what I want to do is, let me read this to you right here.
Okay.
And this is going to sound crazy, but according to Bruce Lipton, a scientist who has made great strides in understanding the effects of our thinking on our brain, genetic disorders like Huntington's chorea, beta thalassemia, and cystic fibrosis, to name a few, they affect less than 2% of the population. This means that the vast majority of the world's population comes in this world with genes that should enable them to live happy and healthy lives. And Lipton says that a staggering 98% of diseases are related to lifestyle choices. In other words, our thinking. Even that woodpecker knows what I'm saying is true. I can hear the cardinal also. Isn't that great?
Yep.
Well, I would encourage
you. That's pretty amazing.
Well, it is. And you know what? The other thing that really matters? If you have any level of an excitement or enthusiasm or this gives you hope, oh, my word, you can take off like a shot. But what I've told you is very, very precise. So if you look in the chase tree, do you know what it's like to feel really, really happy and joyous on the inside?
Yes, I do.
Do you know what it's like to feel a little bit nervous and jittery on the inside or uneasy?
Yes, yes.
Well, see, if you feel nervous on the inside, that's almost always too much cortisol.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so I calm myself. I just talk to the Lord.
Yes.
And I
good choice.
Give it to him, and I just take a breath, and I sit down, and I just calm myself down.
Oh, good. Well, look at those things.
I Have you ever heard of Don Quay or something like that?
No, that's a very famous Chinese tonic herb for the ovaries and the female hormone producing.
Okay.
And that would be no problem taking Don Quay. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, wonderful. Dr. Morgan, as always, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your call, ma'am. I really appreciate you.
Have a great day. God bless you.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I don't think I've heard that many birds since I've been at the zoo in one location. I bet you anything she puts out seed and food for them. What do you bet? The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Oh, boy. Yes, it's true. God is very, very good to us if only we will avail ourselves to the tools that he's given us. And I think you'll agree with me. Choice is one of the greatest tools he's given us. We have to choose what we're going to do. So if you're going to restore your health, it begins with a choice. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, doctor.
Oh, thank you for your phone call. Very happy that you called.
Thank you. Two things. I found that if one listens to you for the entire hour, questions that they have will be answered. You hit on on all the questions. Secondly, and you'll probably think this is weird, but probably I'm still in the 19th century, no TV, no internet.
What's wrong with
no
that?
No cell phone.
What is wrong with that?
I only had radio for 6 months. I found the station, found you, and you are doing a tremendous service.
Oh, you're very kind. Does this mean that you spend most of your time in deep thought and reading and study?
Not really, but I just put my Bible away.
Well, but you're not watching television, are you?
Oh, no.
That's kind of...
But you are simply wonderful. God put you on this earth.
No, you're very kind. Thanks.
What you are doing, and I appreciate you.
Well, that means the world to me that you would think so highly of me. Thank you very much.
You have a great weekend, sir.
You too, and I'm so pleased with your phone call. Thanks for calling. You feel free to call anytime you want.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. You have a great weekend, too. Bye-bye. That was very sweet. Let me read this to you, because I know that I want to give you a smattering of different information this morning. This is an article called Melatonin and Anti-Aging, and it's adapted from Melatonin's Newly Discovered Anti-Aging Mechanism by Scott Franklin. And this comes from Life Extension Magazine, in case you want to look up lifeextension.com. All right. Do you know what a mitochondria is? A mitochondria is where all the energy production takes place within your cells. They're like the movers and the shakers. They make everything happen. And I'm going to go ahead and read the article. Mitochondria are seen to be the physical powerhouses of our cells. They release enormous amounts of energy needed to power the human body. But as we age, mitochondria can become damaged, as characterized by a small hole that opens in the mitochondrial membrane. Now, this is interesting to me. This hole leads to a dramatic decrease in the body's energy production and also increased oxidative stress on the cells, which in turn leads to age-related diseases such as coronary artery disease, neurodegeneration. That's probably just a fancy term for memory loss or Alzheimer's or losing your balance or wasting away and being forgetful. Yeah, neurodegeneration. That means your brain's going south. Also, diabetes and obesity. Now listen to this. A new study shows that melatonin can prevent or dramatically reduce the holes that develop in the mitochondrial membranes. And they can restore mitochondria's normal function, which helps to maintain healthy tissues and organs. They can support resistance to disease and slow down the aging process. You just have to ask yourself, is that something that you're interested in? I am. Melatonin supplementation can prevent age-related mitochondrial dysfunction in brain cells. It can prevent the death of skeletal muscle cells and protect heart muscle during, or it can protect heart muscle cells during and after a heart attack. It can also help alleviate fatty liver disease and improve the function of smooth muscle in the intestines, which tend to decline over time. Since most of our cells contain mitochondria, choosing a lifestyle and supplements that support the body's ability to produce melatonin can help preserve its youthful function. Oh, that is good. You just have to decide if you believe this is true or not. I think it is. Plus, it's just a natural chemical that God made in your body anyway. You need it. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Thank you for trying to call.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a question. My husband is 65 years old. He had diagnosed with prostate cancer about 10 years ago, and he had prostate surgery. And a couple of years later, he had radiation treatment. But so far, he's doing good, but his PSA level keeps rising. So, and they said
even though the prostate's been removed, right?
Yes, yes. Well, and they told him to take vitamin B3, but the last checkup, they told him that his body was not absorbing the vitamin D and that his testosterone levels was high, and his PSA keeps going up. So,
well, can I give you just a guess, and I don't mean to be negative, but most likely what's happened is before they actually removed his prostate, he may have had a cell or two that left the prostate and moved to a different location. And what they're doing is they're generating that prostate-specific antigen. So sometimes that's called the word metastasis. I don't want to be negative, but that's what I would assume is taking place. Is that what they've explained to you?
No, he's had several scans, body scans, and they can't find anything. So,
well, but if he's got those high levels, then we know that some tissue in some location, whether it's still there in the original location deep in the pelvic bowl area, or it's from somewhere else. So I don't know the answer to that because, you know, we just don't know. They've done scans and they can't find anything. But it's just, it's not coming out of thin air is what I'm saying. So that article that I read earlier about pomegranate, that was one of the most intriguing ones that I've read. And that was, they tested on breast cancer. But I can tell you this, whatever women have in breast cancer, men, you know, are the flip side of the coin for prostate cancer. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And so pomegranate, have you ever read the Old Testament when they describe the exact composition of the robes and the clothing that the high priest would wear when he would go to the holiest of holies in the tabernacle?
Yes.
I've always wondered, like, why did they sew pomegranates into the the uniform or the outfit?
Yes.
Very interesting. I know there's more to it than what I understand. I'm sure somebody has a very, very good answer out there. It's just not me on this topic. But when it comes to high PSA, there's two or three things that you need to think of. Actually, I've changed my mind. I want to give you one more idea, okay?
Okay.
Now, I know this is going to sound a little bit crazy, but I've got to be careful how I say this because I know of a doctor that got in trouble for this years ago. Anyway.
Okay.
It's always possible that there could be a little bit of prostate tissue left and the doctors just haven't been able to, like, identify it. Okay.
Yes.
And so let's just say they took 98% of it and they left just maybe 2%. Maybe they thought they got it all, but a little bit was left. It's kind of like when a doctor removes tonsils only to have the stump grow back into a full tonsil. They'll go, but I removed it. Well, not enough to keep it from growing back. But sometimes that tissue can become infected with a what I'm going to call a low-grade bacterial infection. And so if he's harboring a low-grade infection in the prostate, that's why sometimes a doctor will give a round of an antibiotic and then do a follow-up blood test to see if the PSA goes down. So what would that mean to you if the PSA went down when the doctor gave an antibiotic? You would say, well, evidently he's got a little bit of prostate tissue left. It wasn't all removed, and he probably has an infection in it. Now, that's a possibility. The other thing that I want to cover with you, and this is probably 20 years old, and it comes from researchers in Canada. But they showed that if they could convince men to eat no sugar or very, very low carbohydrates, I mean, they let them eat unlimited
protein.
Oh, yeah, protein, fat, vegetables, things like that. Probably even a little bit of fruit, but it's probably fruit like pomegranates.
Okay.
I'm just joking about that. I don't know if they gave them that. But the PSA started to go down.
Okay.
But I always think if there's any either infection or cancer, one of my most favorite strategies to use, besides dealing with emotional stress, like the lady called earlier about being angry with her brother, I just think it's a beautiful story.
Well, I don't think he has any stress. He's retired, and he does a little work, maybe an hour a day. He works out 4 or 5 days a week.
Runs. Oh, great.
2 and 3 miles. Blood pressure is great. Weight is great. So,
well, can he pass his urine pretty easily when he goes to the bathroom?
Yes, he has no problem with that since he had prostate cancer.
Is there any chance he eats more sugar than what he should?
That's definitely true.
Well, and that's the reason why. I'm not picking on him. No one, nobody's picking on him.
I've been on him about the sugar.
Well, in that one study, that's the only thing they did is they cut down on the sugar and the PSA went down across the board. So that's a consideration.
What about using the natural sweetener, stevia, or...
Oh, that's a much better option.
Baby, yes. Natural honey.
Well, I would stick with the stevia first. Okay. If he can get his pleasure from stevia and learn to adapt his attitude to like that, that is going to give him absolutely the best chance at accomplishing this, lowering the PSA.
What about the vitamin D? The doctor told him that he put him on 2,000 milligrams of vitamin
D. Well, that it wouldn't be enough to do anything. I hate to sound like I'm complaining about that, but that we're just spinning our wheels, not getting anywhere at 2,000 units.
He just told him to double up on it, but no.
Well, he needs to quintuple up on it. He's going to have to go somewhere between 10 to 15,000 units a day, probably.
Okay.
Now, that's only my opinion. You can run that past your doctor and see what they say, but I've just observed over and over again, does he have dark skin?
Yes.
Have you seen my skin?
I've seen a picture.
It is not dark, I promise you. So it's easier for me to make vitamin D, but he will have to be out in the sunshine so much more. And the newest studies are showing, even if you take supplemental vitamin D3, you still got to have some time in the sunshine to help activate him.
He spends so much time in the sunshine whenever it's shining. He's always outside gardening or just outside.
Well, let me give you two more clues here.
Okay.
Number one, there is a mineral that should be found in nature. So if we eat vegetables or, you know, oatmeal or other stuff, we get magnesium from the soil. But magnesium is a powerful activator of vitamin D3. So if he's low in magnesium, it's going to be hard to process the D3.
Okay.
So think about the sugar thing, and it's easy to test. If he came off sugar for 3 weeks and went back and retested, I'm not going to see I'm not going to say that his PSA will be zero. Mm-hmm. But what is the number right now?
I think it was like to 0.8 or 9 or something like that.
You say 0.8, like 0.8?
I'm not sure. I know.
Well, anyway, I'm being too technical. Please forgive me. So let's just make up a number. Let's say the number is 5.
Okay.
Or, no, let's just say it's 8. I'll just make up a number.
Okay.
If he comes off sugar and sweets and grains that convert into sugar, if he takes a test 3 to 4 weeks later and does another PSA and that number is 6.2, which means it's 1.8 points lower, wouldn't that tell you that he's trending in the right direction and kind of give him some encouragement?
Yes, yes.
So that would be in the vitamin D3. He's probably going to need anywhere between 10,000 and maybe 15,000.
Okay.
For a short season. Of course, this time of year.
Okay.
You tell me, is the sun going to come out today?
No, probably not.
Probably not, yeah. You're right. But please just consider those things and let me know what happens.
Okay, one other question about the diet. We eat a lot of vegetables, dark green leafy vegetables. Is that good?
Oh, that's great. And you know what I started to go off on a while ago? I've seen so many cases where PSA was lower just by doing what's called, or participating in what's called a ketogenic diet. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, a ketogenic diet.
Yes, he just asked me about that the other day.
So that was just in a passing conversation. Sweetheart, what do you think about ketogenesis? No, but that's definitely something that you should consider.
Now, how do you spell it? I've heard of it, but I cannot spell it.
No, I'm glad you asked. Let me just spell it for you.
Okay.
K K-E-T-O-G-E-N-I-C.
Okay.
Ketogenic. You okay. almost think of the word Genesis, like the beginning.
Yes, like the beginning.
And what happens is when the dominant source of fuel that goes into your husband's body or your body is fat, you will start giving off ketone bodies. Mm-hmm. This freaks a lot of people out, especially medical doctors.
Mm-hmm.
But if you started reading research on ketogenesis, I think you're going to be so impressed that you go, how come no one's recommended this to me before? But it's really a great strategy for either curing chronic low-grade infections that can't be cured.
Okay.
I've seen people that have been on 70 rounds of antibiotics for one infection.
Wow.
Or like having C. diff that never goes away. Ketogenesis is one of the greatest techniques of all time. But that's where you might consume quite a bit of butter and avocados yeah. and coconut oil and eggs and fat and olive oil.
And he doesn't eat very much fat. I mean, we have, I do avocados a lot and eggs and olive oil. I usually cook the eggs and olive oil, but... And he doesn't eat a lot of protein, a lot of meat. He's cut his protein consumption just about in half, I've noticed, so...
Well, and see, that's kind of the ticket right there. If we can just increase the fat intake, he can start to see the dimensions of his body change.
Okay.
I mean, I've literally seen people go from not very athletic looking. Now, he may be very athletic looking. Is that true?
That's true. And he's slender. And, in fact, we work out 4 or 5 days a week. He runs 5Ks.
I have a feeling he looks disgustingly
yes,
manly, doesn't he?
Yes, that's the way I feel because, you know, it's harder for women to lose weight.
Well, and it is because they have more estrogen and less muscle.
Exactly.
Well, I would love to meet him one day. I bet he is a specimen.
I think we will. We'll try to get into your office.
Well, let me know what he thinks about the ketogenesis,
okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you. Appreciate
oh,
it.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you for your questions. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let me see right here. Oh, I've just got so much information. Sometimes it's just hard to pick and choose what I want to tell you. Let me go with this right here. I changed my mind. No, that's not the one I wanted. You know what? This one, I know I've already covered this one right here, but this is just so good. And I borrowed this from Dr. Joe McCullough, which is the title of the article. This little abstract is just adapted from what you can learn from other people's regrets. Okay. The article is called Proceed Boldly, and I think I read this to you like a couple, 3 weeks ago. Life is too short to waste on regrets. Or so say centurions when asked to share their secrets to a long and healthy life. Proceed boldly, they instruct. Don't leave yourself open to saying on your deathbed, I wish I had, and just fill in the blank. The centurions likewise advised staying true to oneself and maintaining a strong social network of family and friends, two factors that are often the source of regret for the dying. In fact, according to Bronnie Ware, it's like the word Bonnie but with an R in it, Bronnie Ware, she is a former palliative care nurse and the author of The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. The most commonly cited regrets at the end of life include lacking the courage to live a life true to oneself, 2, losing touch with friends, 3, working excessively at the expense of familial companionship, 4, lacking courage to express one's feelings, 5, letting worries detract from happiness. Longevity research strongly supports Ware's overall findings. The same considerations that people report regretting are what centurions are getting right. In interviews and surveys, centurions affirm 2 of the most important factors contributing to longevity are strong social connections and a sense of humor. The benefits of social support are scientifically verified, with studies demonstrating that strong social support is the number one factor determining longevity and survival. In effect, its effect on mortality surpasses the influence of weight, and even eclipses the influence of smoking. Wow. You know what happens to the brain if you think about something that's positive or you get a new idea and you kind of say to yourself, you know what, I think I want to work on that. You've got about 24 hours to actually work on it or you're going to lose that thought. Or am I the only one in, you know, North America or the world that's actually done that? Of course I'm not the only one that's ever done that. But that's the way it works. You've got to act on it. Action always speaks louder than words. I have another one that I find interesting right here. Oh, here's a phone call. Hang on just a second. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you, sir?
Well, I think I'm pretty well, but I thought I would check a couple of things with you.
All right. Well, I'm all yours. Go.
I just got some blood work results in the mail, and it seems like my white blood count is a little bit low, so I thought I'd call and check with you.
What is the number?
It's 4.28.
Yeah, that's too low. That's much lower than ideal. You're right.
Yeah, it's just barely above normal, the low normal.
I mean, but does that give you great confidence that if you had like an infection that your immune system's going to be able to be really robust and attack it? Probably not.
No, how do I raise that up?
Well, we've got to figure out what the deal is, and all I can do is give you information.
Okay.
If you're harboring some type of a chronic low-grade infection, that could be an infection in your tooth or your tonsils or a sinus infection or diverticulitis, something like that, then that would eventually just wear your immune system down where it'd become exhausted. And so a low white blood cell count. One of the most famous herbs of all time, I'm going to give you two herbs that are very, very famous for raising a white blood cell count. One's called astragalus, and the other one's called echinacea. Ever heard of either one of those?
I take echinacea daily.
Okay. Do you have a low-grade infection somewhere?
I don't know.
Okay. That's a good answer, though. Sometimes we have a low-grade infection, and it's just unbeknownst to us that's just stressing our body. Are you under a lot of stress?
No.
I like it even better.
Well,
and the one called astragalus is one of the best ones of all time for really helping when your bone marrow becomes tired. Sometimes a spoonful of what's called sesame seed oil. They have several varieties for sale at the store. One's the toasted kind that you would put in a wok. It's kind of brown. You don't want that kind. You just want the plain Jane sesame seed oil. That seems to have a unique affinity for helping your bone marrow or your stem cells produce more white blood cells. But you know, in order to grow new white blood cells, you got to have B vitamins. So sometimes that's all I do is I just give natural B vitamins.
Okay.
Have you had any type of heart procedure where they cut your ribs open?
No.
Okay.
I just had a treadmill test not long ago, and they said that was great.
Do you mind if I ask your age?
I'm 71.
71. And you have a full life ahead of you, don't you?
I hope so.
Well, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Look into the herb called astragalus. The other things I would think of are natural B vitamins. I would look into the mineral zinc. I think it's interesting that each white blood cell has about 40 times the amount of iodine it carries around with it to keep you free from infection and from cancer than probably any other element. So iodine would be one of the things you would really, really want to prayerfully, thoughtfully consider.
Yeah, I take Arctic kelp every morning.
Oh, you do? Do you like it?
Well, yeah, I've been doing it for quite a while.
Well, do you find it offensive on the taste?
Pardon?
Is it offensive or is it doable?
No, it's just a little cherry tasting thing that you do under your tongue.
Oh, then good. I mean, that's got to be a superfood if you ask me.
No, that's not it. That's the B12.
Right. No, that makes sense, but you said Arctic kelp. Is that in liquid form or is it in some type of gel cap or capsule?
No, it's just a little round dry pill.
Oh, and so it's not that terrible then, is it?
No.
Okay. Well, look into the herb called astragalus. You want me to spell that for you?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Astragalus. Astragalus.
Well, I wasn't too far off.
No, you did great. That's what I do all day long, because I hear brand new names I've never heard before, and I think, how do I spell this woman's name? I've never just kind of phonically try to spell it out. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm way off, especially if it's from Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, good deal. Thanks for your phone call today.
All right, thank you for being there.
You're welcome. Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. According to new research from Georgia Institute of Technology, this habit is not as negative as previously thought, but rather it demonstrates a more efficient brain system, adept at more complex thought processes, including creative problem solving, reasoning, and recall. People with efficient brains may have too much brain capacity to stop their mind from wandering. I'm trying to ask myself if this is me or not. Anyway, don't think about it too much. This says Eric Schumacher, Georgia Tech psychology professor and study co-author. They use MRI scans. So Schumacher and his colleagues, they monitor the brain activity of over 100 volunteers who concentrate on a stationary point for 5 minutes. The research team established which areas of the brain worked together during awake and a resting state. In addition to brain pattern measurements, the subjects completed a battery of tests to measure attention and intelligence. The researchers found that those who reported more frequent daydreaming scored higher on intellectual and creativity ability and had more efficient brain systems as measured in the MRI. Our findings remind me of the absent-minded professor, someone who's brilliant but off in his own little world, sometimes oblivious to their own surroundings, Schumacher said.